Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Waltherbox earnings call. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now hand the floor over to Mr. Jürgen Pampel.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome to our today's earnings call. We have wonderful, nice, sunny weather here in Delbrück, and I think this is good because of our highlights from last year, Waltherbox highlights from 2018. I would like to start first to give you this overview, what happened, and maybe some few things to show the early 2019. I would like to hand over to Jörg Dorbond, my colleague, and he will, of course, explain more in details later on the key figures of our 2018 report. So again, good afternoon. Most of you, I think, is aware of the guidance for 2018. Remember, in our revenue forecast was between 65 and 70 million. Over the year given to you, we ended, and this is highly motivating for us all, not just from the management, but for all employees of us, with 66.9 million for 2018. So let's say nearly right in the middle of our prognosis. In terms of our EBIT margin, the key figure for 2018 is 8.4, even more than our guidance was in mid of 2018. So it's the fact, or it's fact, that Waltherbox again was able to show a kind of a continued top-line growth with more than 145%. Our EBIT margin was slightly better than expected, and this with an included burden because of our renegotiation with the Triathlon to get back the sales rights for Europe and for the North American market in terms of intralogistics earlier, much earlier than it would have been possible based on our older contract. So the main drivers to make this happen came again from intralogistics and also from public transport applications. The forecast for 2019 in terms of revenues is 105 to 115, and again we will show as our plan an EBIT margin between 8 and 9% in this year, 2019. I'm now on the next slide, key developments in product segments. This all valid for 2018, as several times pointed out, intralogistics is still one of the main drivers, but also our oldest, in a certain way, market segment from public transport, so trolley buses. We again and again are getting new projects. We are nominated for future projects. For instance, I can give you this example from the Dayton, Ohio authorities with quite a big order from last year for the new trolley bus fleet. We will see starting this year and especially then with the main units in next year in Dayton, Ohio. This is representing, by the way, our newest technology for such applications based on lithium titanate cells. This guarantees a highest possible lifetime. So you can charge and discharge such Voltabox high power battery systems more than 20,000 times. And this is pretty much. with Komatsu, we have later this already known presentation slide, but we added, I think, two or three new projects. What I can say right now is it this new situation with 20 to 25 additional employees from our concurrent acquisition brought us, Voltabox, in, let's say, a key position to be able to step into more than just one project with this key customer, Komatsu, in parallel. But it took quite a while, some months, 6 or 9, on the other side of our customer, on the Komatsu side. Now we are absolutely in a kind of a balance. That means also Komatsu now has more project manager, more R&D people, more project teams in charge to do the entire vehicle R&D in parallel to the Voltabox teams from Austin, Texas. We were lucky to have over the last 3-4 months all main high level soft rock, hard rock, and surface related manager from Komatsu as visitors during project meetings in Austin, and this now is, let's say, a new kind of trust and a kind of business accelerator for the already running projects, and the next we will add, or we have added over the last weeks. I come back to this in 3 or 5 minutes. With all products, systems from our latest acquisition, Accurate, please think on e-bike and Pedelec battery packs first, we were able to realize some nice revenue contribution already in 2000 or for 2018 with quite good with quite a good margin from this market segment, and we are heavily under work to step into the next applications possible with this new modular systems for the smaller size, the cylindrical cells. Think on gardening and medical devices, cleaning machines, and so on. So I think we will have the chance to keep you informed over the year what is ongoing there. With Volta Motion, so high power electronics and high efficient e-drives, in 2018 we mainly were able to realize sales because of development services as a first step, typical first step in projects, but this will be followed in the future, in the nearest future also, with deliveries of first units, prototypes, testing systems, and then pre-series and series components. For instance, from our DC-DC converter, it's brand new developed and in the end phase of validation. And a little bit behind time-wise is our onboard charger, but it is all in plan, and we will show these components and others from also from our segment Volta Motion on the next IAA Auto Show in September, which will take place in Frankfurt, as you know. Intralogistics. Now I'm coming to the next slide. Based on our new cooperation with Triathlon, first we got back, as I told before, the sales rights for these European markets and the North American markets. Pretty much in the same moment, so July last year, we began to hire experts from these industry sales experts to build up an own sales team. Not just here in Delbrück, but also in Austin, Texas. Now we have more than just one handful of such experts working to sell VoltaBox forklift truck battery systems, and of course, in addition, what we did before, to be honest, also for AGVs like from KUKA and from Fori Automation. Now, this business is, with direct sales from us, rapidly growing. And also to this, I will come back in a few moments to explain where we are in terms, when I will explain where we are in terms of market shares. It's interesting that our idea or our opinion about what is going on, what will go on in the intralogistic business, it was, by the way, our goal not to lose time, to wait too long, to be able to act and not to react. This was the main driver for us to step into renegotiations last year. And we think it was exactly the right way, because over the last months, and especially with this trade show in Stuttgart, the LogiMAT, we have seen that a lot is going on. You all have read this press release and announcement from Jungheinrich and Triathlon. They are now cooperating in a joint venture. I think it will go official in May or June with JT Energy, Jungheinrich Triathlon Energy, as a new entity company. So this is an example that what we felt at those days, that right now all players, customers, suppliers, battery system suppliers like us from the intralogistic industry will have good reasons to look for any kind of cooperations, for partnerships. And Jungheinrich and Triathlon, they did this. It is, and it was, not negative. This is an important message from our side for us. It will lead, and we have already these, let's say, facts here with us. It's not just a hope or a kind of an information. We see clear facts that this new joint venture from these both will generate even more business in terms of us in terms of Walterbox for the nearest future. This because some of these tremendous amount of such systems for forklifts will based on the Jungheinrich technology, 24 volts, but all the rest, and it's much more than 24 volts, it's 36, it's 72 for the North American markets, it's 48 volts, it's 80 volts for this big forklift, all the rest will be built from Walterbox modules and components from our modular system. Also for this JT Energy joint venture. And this will again result into much, much higher sales compared to what we were able to do with Triathlon together in 2017 and in 2018. And this was not as less, as you know. So this is good. I have seen a lot of activities after the LogiMAT trade show in terms of other forklift OEMs. Now they are, let's say, getting under pressure a little bit, and all well-known players, forklift OEMs, are looking to, in a certain way, to do the same, to step into cooperations with or without exclusivity. Some are also thinking about the chance or the possibilities to for joint ventures and. So it's exactly the right moment. It was exactly the right moment to make last year a Walterbox ready to be a potential partner of such ideas. We announced during the LogiMAT, where Walterbox presented ourselves and our systems on an own booth in Stuttgart. We announced at those days a cooperation with a smaller company, a startup, by the way, named ForkOn, and this is the next step. We are adding software-based or related services to our very, very physical battery systems, providing power. Think on enhanced and very, let's say, intelligent fleet management tools. Think on data handling provided by our battery management systems out of the battery for such fleet management systems. But the other way around, Walterbox is getting a lot of knowledge and data back from the market, from systems in the field, not just lithium-based from us, but also from lead acid-based systems. And this opens a complete new window in terms of sales strategies we can work with end-to-end. So this will this is just a first step in such a kind of a direction. We will show more over this year. And it's the first time for Voltabox that we have now a business model with recurring revenues. So on a monthly base, we are getting kind of fees for the use of these software services. Okay. I think it's more or less the most important things are presented from my side regarding Interlogistics and Triathlon. Just an update as promised from our overview over our Komatsu projects. This picture shows, in addition to what you know already, some types from these cars doing drills under the earth, some special variants of what we did already before. Remember this jumbo face drill, this is known. We added two other types of this vehicle family, this Badger and Armadillo series, and the same with the Hauler family. And now, and it's interesting that Komatsu is creating names now for their new vehicles, electrically driven with our technology. This shows that Komatsu also is working on a complete different approach how to sell this new generation of vehicles into the market. So they have a clear new strategy in terms of a marketing and sales focus with this new names of their vehicles. It's not an BH1820, no, it's now an Atlas. And this is new, and this underlines the commitment, the high commitment from the entire Komatsu management to intensify the work to electrify all these vehicles together with Voltabox, and only with Voltabox, and to promote these new generations of vehicles in a total different kind and much more prominent than before. Next slide, just a small focus of what we do in Texas. Komatsu, yes, it's interesting from rail and port how many reasonable fields of applications there are, not just the switcher locomotives for ports. It's incredible to see that there is a huge need, for instance, for starter batteries to crank big diesel traction motors from common locomotives. Up to now, it's this cranking power is provided from lead battery systems, but with the biggest supplier of such locomotives and the second biggest, so it is Progress Rail and General Electric. Voltabox is in the end phase in terms of negotiations to substitute all these big lead acid based starter batteries for such locomotives against new ones from us based on lithium, on lithium ion technology. In addition to this, they have typically batteries on board to drive all auxiliary systems, so heaters, climate systems, lights, headlights, tail lights, and these, they call it head and power battery units, show also a big potential for the thousands of thousands locomotives all over North America. Interesting new fields of application for us, and I'm pretty sure that I will be able to report more from this over the next months. Intralogistics, as I said, it's the main focus is forklift trucks, but also AGVs. In addition, other big mobile stationary systems to provide power where it is needed in a certain moment and then to be moved to different places. And buses, you know this pretty good from us over the years. Up to now, Volterbox is clear in the lead in terms of all relevant trolley bus projects all over the planet. Mass markets, we have shown that Volterbox is ready to step into this e-bike and pedelec applications and also gardening and medical devices with what we now have available from Accurate. By the way, it will be merged within the next few weeks, so in Q2, then over the time Accurate, the name will disappear, it all will be Volterbox and the segment Volterfor, so all applications with low voltage. I will end with this first presentation of our last year's highlights. Again, the forecast of us for 2019 is 105 to 115. Let's wait and see where we will end. But we are confident. Very confident to meet again. Is it the third or the fourth or the fifth time? I think something like that, this guidance, and with an EBIT margin between 8 and 9%. And now I would like to just to name the key facts for this prognosis for 2019. We will see again an increase in intralogistics, direct sales, of course, from us, driven from ourselves. The triathlon share, and this is what I meant some minutes before, relatively will go down. This means not that the absolute figures will also go down with triathlon. It's just the opposite. But because of the tremendous growth of direct sales, the relation will change like you can see this on this slide, key facts for revenues. The bus industry, because of our new system container approach based on lithium titanate, will result to quite interesting and reasonable sales. It's not just Dayton. We have some European-based projects in front of us. The mass market applications, of course, in terms of e-bikes and pedelecs, will grow tremendously. Agriculture, construction, next to what we have since a year or 1.5 years, Schaeffer and so on, we will show more also in terms of smaller kinds of vehicles, from this field of applications. Mining also already explained mainly the business with Komatsu, port and rail. Again, it's starter batteries, it's head and power, and maybe later more and more hybrid traction battery systems to make locomotives able to be driven electrically in certain areas like ports or where it is necessary in terms of regulations and so on. And last but not least, yes, Voltavox will show and present new technology for automotive applications in September in Frankfurt. And so it's not just another traction battery to power cars. It will be the highest innovative technology for ultra-fast charging, for high power electronics with this DC-DC converters and onboard chargers and so on. So it will be pretty interesting. Yeah, and now I would like to hand over to my colleague Jörg Dorbert.
Okay, thank you. Let me shortly introduce myself, because I'm new to this group. I have started in early December last year, so it's now around 4 months that I'm within the company. My job title is COO. But in the case of Voltavox, currently that includes the responsibility for the financials. And now I mainly will report about the financials. Mr. Pampel already pointed out our huge increase in sales. Again, we more than doubled the revenues to now 67 million euros. Together with this is a very nice increase of the profitability, especially into a positive value. The EBITDA is already close to 10 million euros, and our EBIT operating profit is 5.6 million euros in 2018. Because of this huge growth in revenues, all our key numbers more or less increased. Of course, also the number of employees. From 99 employees, including agency workers, end of 17, now to 235 employees, end of 2018. We always have to keep in mind it's end of the year, so that means we already consider the next year how many employees will we need for all the projects, the sales for 2019. Not only revenues, but of course, automatically our operating performance, our gross performance in doubled or more than doubled, increased more than the revenue, because if for a very fast growing company, you always have to look into the future. You have to build up stock on finished goods, and therefore the operating performance is always a little bit ahead of the revenues. Again, gross profit increased, therefore the EBIT increased. Financial result in our case is not a really big number, because we mostly finance ourselves with our own equity. EBT, last year we had a negative number of 3.5 million, or the year before, 2017, 2018, it increased to 5.5 million, and therefore also the final result, the group result, increased out of the negative number of 6.5 million to 2.6 million euros. So what were the key figures for the profitability development from a negative number to a nice number of 8.4% of revenues? First of all, of course, economies of scale. For a very fast growing company, we always have to invest into the future, what we especially do by our development projects, but what we also do in investment and sales activities. but the bigger you get, the more and more you get back. We increased staff by a lower percentage than revenue, so therefore we have the economies of scale, we have a better usage of our equipment, we have a better usage of our factory buildings. We buy our material in average a little bit cheaper because we buy bigger quantities, and the overall performance, of course, increased as well. And by the way, we have to consider that in 2018 we had some special effects by going public with some million in costs. So let us look on the balance sheet. The total value of the balance sheet did not increase a lot, just a little bit. But we have some remarkable changes in the structure. So if we first look on the asset side, there is an increase in intangible assets. This is again the especially our development projects. Then we have the last year we had the acquisitions of the two companies, Concurrent Design in Texas and Accurate in Germany. And some switch of some other assets. On the other hand, the current in assets decreased, but first let me go into the details. We had, of course, a big increase in working capital. I will come back to this later in inventories and trade receivables. We had some prepaid expenses, which increased the current assets. And on the other hand, I also will go into this in detail shortly, we have less cash. Our liquid funds decreased a lot. I will come back to this soon, but let us first look on the other side of the balance sheet. Equity is more or less stable. We hardly have financing by banks. The biggest portion of external financing is the building which we have in Texas, a mortgage on the building. Let me point out here that we have an existing building which we started, Mr. Pumper, 3-4 years, 2015, and currently under construction is an expansion of the building which will more than double the building. This extension we so far finance out of our own cash. The existing building is financed by a mortgage. The rest of the mortgage will have to be paid back end of 2019, I think in November, and therefore we have on the balance sheet now at the end of 2018 a switch from non-current loans to current loans because there are less than 12 months are left over. But let me point out here as well that we are planning end of the year to get a new mortgage which shall cover roughly 60% of the total value of the complete building. Yeah, we increased our deferred tax liabilities, mainly in Texas. We will see this in the working capital topic. Trade payables increased, liabilities went down. So I think the most movement in the balance sheet again was in the change of cash. So therefore, let's go into the cash flow statement. First of all, as a fast-growing company, again, needs to build up a lot of working capital. This is first of all inventory on all levels, on raw materials, on semi-finished goods, and on finished goods. And by the same reason, we have a positive effect that usually accounts payable go up as well. And we have, in the case of Waterbox, a special case that our accounts receivable went up. Generally, they should go up with higher sales, of course, but we have that story with Triathlon, what Mr. Pumper already explained, where we have a switch now from payment terms, but where we had very long payment terms in 2018, and that went to rather high accounts receivable. So overall, the number changed or went down our free cash flow by 68 million. Is it on the next page where we ended the year? Must be on the next page. We ended the year with roughly, I don't see it here on my own chart, with 28 million euros. And for the year 2019, let me point this out, we expect more or less a stable cash situation despite our growth. That means we will especially use our accounts receivable. A more detailed development, if you have our presentation available, then you can see a chart named Operating Cash Flow Bridge from year-end to year-end. The major point there, many points, again, is the topic with the working capital and especially with the accounts receivable. On the positive side, of course, we have a small increase in accounts payable. And on the next slide, the key cash flow development on top of this to see to get into the total free cash flow. We only did not only have, of course, a big change in net working capital, but we spent some money on capital expenditures, which mainly is the building in Texas and some machinery. And as you already know, we spent money on acquisitions for Concurrent and Accurate. Thank you. So we have prepared a slide which show what did we do on capital expenditure investments. On 2018, the biggest portion is on development costs, where we capitalize the big projects, which the biggest projects in that case were for the development for the Komatsu battery systems, then the development for trolley and other electrical vehicle buses, and developments for battery systems for Schaeffer and KUKA, which are will now result in sales in 2019, and we spent already on building and machinery. In 2019, the picture will look a little bit different, so the number for investment in projects will go down a little bit. One reason is, of course, that we also will have to depreciate such projects, and we will have a much bigger portion on investments on things which you can touch, which is, again, especially the building in Austin. And, of course, some machinery. In case you may wonder why don't we invest more in machinery, for big machinery, we usually finance it by leasing. Therefore, you will not see it on the balance sheet. Yeah, from 2018, that was about 2018, as explained in again and again, we think we have met the expectations and our forecasts in a good way. And for 2019, again, we have very ambitious goals. As Mr. Pumper said, we are very confident, but nevertheless, they are very ambitious. Yeah? It's of course, first of all, sales activities will expand further. That's not only in Europe, but especially in the United States and in other European countries. Was also already mentioned that we will go after a UL certification for our systems. So that will, it's technically not necessary for our systems, but it will make it easier to sell them. And yeah, from Komatsu we expect reasonable sales. And during the year we will finally start to ramp up some production in our Chinese plant, which as of today is an empty place. And Mr. Pampa already pointed out in detail that we will go more in specific mass markets, like for instance for bicycles. There. Yeah, I think that's about the financials in our presentation, which you probably have seen. There are some additional slides. We can go into this in case it's necessary for to answer your questions. So therefore, I would suggest with an unfortunate delay, now we can start into the questions phase.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. In case you wish to cancel a question, press 9 and star again. Please press now 9 and star to state your questions. And the first question comes from Felix Eisel, TCA. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for the presentation so far. I got a few questions. First of all, relating to triathlon. So I see that you generated sales of about 45 million euros in 2018, and you have a single accounts receivable against them of 48 million. So that's higher than the actual sales generated this year. When did triathlon ever pay bills at this point yet, or when can we expect that this accounts receivable will be reduced? Secondly, in the Q3 report, you showed capitalized development work of 4.7 million year to date. Now at year end, it stands only at 3 million. What happened in between? How did that reduce? And then finally, could you comment on this, you sold immaterial assets to a company called Artega. Could you give some color on that? It was a 3 million development that you sold. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Let me start with a triathlon question. The answer is yes, triathlon is paying regularly and in time the bills. The numbers you observed are correct. The accounts receivable equal more or less the total revenues. That's mainly due to the situation of what we had last year for a long period, 360 days payment period, which we switched now or ended end of 2018, and now we have, depending on the product, between 30 days and 120 days. So therefore, we expect this year to go, that the accounts receivable will go down. And that's the reason why we plan to have a well-balanced cash flow this year, despite our growth. So then the second question was about activating development costs. I'm just looking here for the numbers. I think your question was why were they reduced in comparison to the year before? Huh?
No. The question was at Q3 you showed 4.7 million of capitalized development work in the P&L, and now at year end it stands at 3 million. So I'm surprised how that P&L item was reduced.
The reason is a portion of this went under IFRS 15, which we did not use in Q3, but we decided to do it at the end year of closing because it's also requested by the new IFRS guidelines. And the portion of this went into revenues under IFRS 15. Yeah, and I think
part of it is this. This was your third question.
Exactly.
The business relationship to Mr. Freer's privately owned company Artega. So Artega is an automotive OEM. And they have obviously made sure to be able to work on own new projects. One is something ramped up right now. It's a small remake of a car from the 50s or early 60s, I think. It's something to be produced from Artega in volumes of some thousands a year. And this car is purely electrically driven. The name is, by the way, Microlino. It's the rights, and it is owned, this project, from the Swiss company Micro. Walterbox got a project to redesign the entire components for the electrical drivetrain. So we started to do R&D services in this amount of slightly 3 million euros in 18, and this is this portion from IAS 15 we have shown in the details of our annual report. We will step into deliveries from Walterbox to Artega within this year for battery systems and also for high power electronic components and such stuff. And this is an example, a real example from us. We are, Walterbox is ready to serve automotive needs by means of, so ready by means of the technology we in the meantime have available for such applications. And to be honest, it's not just this single project. We started early to have a first step in this purely automotive market with this small car Microlino. There is also another project ongoing together with Artega, and this then is or will be a different type of car. It's more what all are probably expecting from Artega. It's more an high-performance application, a high-performance car. So these are two projects.
Okay.
The next question comes from Thomas Schiessler, Equity. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you for taking my question. This is Thomas Schiessler from Equity in Frankfurt. Actually, there are three questions. First of all, congratulations to your quite impressive numbers for the last business year. So coming to the question, first, Mr. Pumper, you mentioned the Artega relationship, and and that you are able, from the technology point of view, to deliver the electrical power to such a new type of cars. Will you go into the mass market, or is this the training area to penetrate the passenger car market in some areas, in some segments? So will you head for mass market not only in the bicycle market with Accurate or former Accurate technology and positioning, and launch your mass market approach towards cars and passenger car markets? The second question would be on your Chinese activities. We haven't heard anything about the Kushan factory and your plans concerning the Chinese market. And the third question actually is on the U.S. Market with your activities on the battery market. You increased you started hiring some salespeople. How many salespeople are at your payroll right now, and what will be the future headcount to reach all the relevant markets if it comes to the battery and the battery market? And the fourth question definitely is on IFRS. Do you foresee any major changes in accounting concerning IFRS changes, IFRS 15, 16, and so on and so forth? Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Schiesle. Okay, the first question. So this Artega or automotive-related approach from us. Yes, it's clear. In addition to what we have already started in the direction of e-bikes and Pedelecs applications, a next step to position Voltabox in mass market typical business arenas. And this is already correctly understood, passenger cars, call it passenger cars, applications in this focus. It all, and this is also valid for e-bike and Pedelec systems from us, it all will address more the premium, the high power, the performance applications. So this is what we have in mind, not the bread and butter applications. This is available from so many other suppliers, and this is clearly not a good chance for a higher margin business. It's exactly the opposite when we talk about high performance applications, and this is what we are focusing. But yes, it's a mass market approach, and it's dedicated clearly for passenger cars. The situation in China with our plant in Kunshan is, so we were able to rent for very small money this building just in the opposite of the Paragon site in Kunshan, in this area of, it's a German industrial park. This chance we got last year, we prepared the building with a new paint outside and things like that. And we now are starting to install production equipment in terms of batteries. It's also an absolutely need to have laser welding equipment down there to do all the electrical connections from battery cell pole to cell pole, and this is taking usually some months' time, but we are right at the end of this phase, and we will start production of this, call it mass market systems or modules, all, by the way, in low voltage, means less than 60 volts, pretty soon within the next few weeks. So this is going on like planned. It is not possible to transfer the production line for our BMW starter batteries from Delbrück to Kunshan, because in case that we would have such an idea, it would mean a complete new release of all production processes together with BMW, and this is quite costly and would take a year or so at least to get this restarted again from Kunshan. So with all potential new battery systems or battery packs or products from us under 60 volts voltage level, we will do this from this Chinese-based production site. The next question
is about IFRS 15.
No. I have one.
Mr.
Schiesele, your question was about our sales personnel or staff in the U.S. Market. So we have on our payroll four right now, and this again based on a strategy or call it plan for this year to enlarge this team at least by three or four sales engineers or manager in addition, and they will be located not as these first four sales manager, they not be located in all in Texas, but in one or no, it's two. They will be located in states of the more eastern part, at the East Coast of the United States. One on the West Coast, and one in addition in this. What is it, Minnesota area. So this is the plan and the structure, how we will enlarge our sales force all over the United States. And we have done this all with a broad analysis where all over the United States are potential customers located. For instance, the South Carolina area or region is pretty interesting for us because of all this automotive and OEM related potential customers, just as an example. So we came to the decision to have there a sales office and an end. So this is what we do there. And now it's the fourth question regarding
IFRS,
IFRS 15 and so on.
Yeah, 15 we already applied end of 2018, so for end of 2019 we don't expect any big change in how to do it. 16 is something new which has to be applied first time to all companies in 2019. 16 is in our case about showing capital expenditures financed by leasing. We have done already some mathematics, and we come up with a range of 10 to 15 million euros, which we will show on the balance sheet 2019.
And the interest impact out of it will...
The interest is already regularly booked in 2018 and the years before. I don't know by heart what the total
item will change. The line item will change, to my knowledge. So EBIT will improve, and the lines below EBIT will be burdened by this change in accounting. But this is accounting thing.
Yeah, so it will go out of the other expenditures into the financial costs, right? Yeah.
An additional
we have not calculated it. But it's the good hint. So we will prepare such a number for our next investor relations meeting. Yeah.
That would be helpful for us indeed. An additional question to the U.S. activities and your sales force you will put in place all over the United States. Is there any? Is there foreseeable another sales force which will cover the Mexico area or the Yucatan automotive cluster?
Yeah. So this is a pretty good question. So we have discussed this, and for the next 6 to 12 months, we will do this from Austin because it's not as far away, and we have two of this. I think two of our sales manager with certain connections to the Mexican market. Already. This means not that we will stick on this for years, so maybe in a year or so we then would have a better, let's say, experience or knowledge in the direction when would be the right moment to establish a kind of a sales office or so in Mexico. So, could be.
Okay, yeah. Thank you so far, gentlemen.
Thank you.
At the moment, there seem to be no further questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9 and star on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Maxime Poton Odo. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Just two questions regarding the guidance for the margin. I would like to know how much did you factor coming from the application of IFRS 15, and also could you remind us the amount that you take into account for to establish a sales network in 2019, please.
So the first question was how much we have shown in 2018 according to IFRS 15.
I was talking about the 2019. What would be the impact of IFRS 16 on the EBIT margin, please?
We guess it should be around half a million euro to 600,000 euro.
So as a positive impact?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's already factored into your guidance?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you mentioned in your press release that it would cost about 1 million for the sales network in the US. I would like to know if it's the world cost for the world group, or do you also need to expend some money in other parts?
So this 1 million is roughly this amount of, call it invest, to establish this new sales structure and to enlarge the team, as I explained before. So this is covering all what I have explained.
Okay. So you don't need more money to establish a sales network in Europe, for instance.
19. So this additional 3 to 4 people for
yes.
this regions, this is included in this 1 million.
So it's payroll, traveling, office costs, and such things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just if I may, one question regarding the joint venture between Triathlon and Jugendreich. It seems that you are now, or you will work with this new joint venture, and
yes.
could you elaborate about the timeline of your new collaboration with them?
Yeah, so of course we are. I am in direct talks to the designated two managing directors of this joint venture. So this will become official, this is what they told me, in May, latest in June, and then the most portion of our existing business sales with Triathlon will be from that moment on covered from this new joint venture. So the new customer for this old business of us then will be JT Energy. For some, for the future spoken now, projects think outside the intralogistic applications, think on, for instance, stationary things or so, it could be that Triathlon in the future will also step back in the position of being a customer of VoltaBox, but not for intralogistics applications. This will be by 100% taken over from this JT Energy joint venture. From that moment, they are having all things ready to be officially founded as a new entity, and this will latest take place in June. So this is the situation.
Thank you for your information.
And we have a follow-up question from Thomas Schiessler, Equity. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. This is Thomas Schiessler once again. On this JT Energy joint venture, is this joint venture a new room for new customer relations with other customers, or will this limit you in access new customers because of exclusivity or of technical exclusivity?
There is no exclusivity like we had before with this first contract of Triathlon, no exclusivity. And of course, it's our task to be, let's say, attractive also for others from this industry, not just for this joint venture, JT Energy, or maybe more or less indirectly also for Jungheinrich. This is, by the way, the fact. But no, our position is, call it neutral, to be able to partner or to be a supplier also for other big players from this market. You know the names of those. This is what I mentioned already. So since this joint venture was announced, it is interesting what kind of dynamics in terms of discussions between these OEMs and those potential suppliers for battery systems are ongoing now. And so I can confirm that this also takes place with us and not just, but it's interesting that this is the fact, by getting, call it urgent calls. So it's both, of course, our sales staff, ourselves, including myself, we are on different levels, also on very high level. We have activities to establish first contacts and to step into very clear and not just strategic, it's both strategic and operative negotiations. And this is all being accelerated by this announcement of from Jungheinrich and Triathlon. So this is also, this is what I think, a good aspect from this. It's not just that business will tremendously increase for us from Voltabox with this new joint venture. It's now the situation we expected a year ago when we renegotiated this new contract with Triathlon to be free to step once a day into such discussions with all these Kions, Lindes, Eister, Yeels, Toyotas, Crowns, and so on. And this is exactly what is going on right now. And so I can say that none of those we are in direct talks with have certain problems that Voltabox is doing business with such from Saxonia. None of them. It's more key that we have shown over the last years, or were able to show over the last years, the high quality of our solutions, the robust technical approach of our systems, our track record with having thousands of applications in the field without any failure, without any event of burning. So no articles or YouTube videos showing burning forklifts, nothing of this. And I can say that quite often I got presented from such people from the OEM side a kind of a ranking list showing Voltabox at the very top, technical-wise, end-to-end. So obviously we are in a good position. Let's wait what we will achieve over the next weeks and months, but I cannot confirm that the fact that we do business with Triathlon and JT in the future, so with Jungheinrich, is influencing our business opportunities negatively with other forklift OEMs. This is not the fact.
What is your thinking of this joint venture structure? Is this structure a good blueprint for the whole industry to go on and merge the forces which each other?
Yes and no. So because I'm as I said in direct talks with this designated two managing directors, I know that JT Energy, believe it or not, has the approach to be in the future also a kind of a neutral supplier for such industry batteries, not just to sell this stuff for Jungheinrich forklifts, but also to others. The question is, what these KEONs, just as an example of this world, agree to this? This is the question. But their approach is to be some independent supplier for lithium batteries. This is what they have in their strategy book. Will this work? Let's wait and see. But it's interesting that the needs over the next 5 years, just from the Jungheinrich side, is unbelievable high. So it's in the six-digit volumes over the next years, what they have already in their kind of an order book just to equip Jungheinrich forklifts and AGVs and what else they do. This is interesting.
This fork on acquisition, the startup, so to speak,
at the moment it's not an acquisition. We have an exclusive cooperation. This is important, but it could be that we will show next steps over this year, but it's not finally negotiated. But your instinct, let's say like this, is correct.
This gives you, or this cooperation, or this addition of tools and capabilities will give you the power to penetrate the market even further and quicker.
Exactly.
Because
that we will are getting, by the way, it started already, information from thousands of forklifts in the field. Using this fleet management software tools also, and this is up to now the major portion of this forklift, from such having lead acid batteries on board. So now we have a detailed knowledge where are how many forklifts located in from which company looking for a new battery within the next 3 months or 6 months and from what type and so on. So this is a brilliant guidance for our sales staff to do their work, because we know already up front where these forklifts are, in which quantities with the need to get new batteries. So this is one of the benefits from this cooperation with Forkon from our side.
Yeah, good luck and much fun with this business.
Thank you.
There are no further questions from the audience. So, Mr. Pampel, the floor back to you.
Yeah, so thank you for this year's earnings call from today. Thank you for all these questions, interesting and good, very reasonable questions, let me say, from my side. And I hope we will get and have the chance over this year to hear or to see each other again, and hopefully based on further success stories from us and new announcements. So thank you for your time, and yeah, have a nice day. Thank you.
Thank you as well.